In yesterday's majlis, in yesterday's gathering, we discussed various points, went through various subject matter. And in the same light of what we discussed yesterday with regards to Allah Ta'ala's rada, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, Allah Ta'ala's happiness, what is the importance of Allah's happiness and rada for us, and how important it is for us to acquire this, and what we'll get in the hereafter for this. Maybe you will remember what we discussed, that insan, the human being, his success, it is not only dependent on amal, on doing the deeds, but rather we need to have the weight behind our deeds, or on inside our deeds. So as much as a person concentrates on the quantity of deeds, more important is for us to have the value in our deeds, in our amal, to have the weight on our deeds. The more weight in our deeds, the more success the person will attain, and his scale will tip towards the positive side, towards the weighty side. And that person who has a lot of deeds, or higher quantity of deeds, but if the deeds are light, then he will be unsuccessful, or will lose, will not pass. So this is the methodology that has been explained and given to us, that we should practice such amal. If Allah gives us the tawfiq to practice them, we should make them heavy and weighty. And to make our deeds heavy, each deed heavy, what do we need to do? What should we do? What should we be concentrated on, that through which our deeds will become heavy and have quality in them and they'll be accepted? So what should we do to bring the weight into our deeds, the value into our deeds? So as we discussed yesterday, we came to the conclusion that we need ikhlas in our deeds. We need sincerity. If there's sincerity in the deed, in the action, then it will be heavy and weighty and it will be accepted. This is what we discussed. So, ikhlas now, sincerity. So, there's no criteria that it has to be a lot of deeds or a recognized deed, a big deed, even if it's a so-called minor deed, a minor action. But if it's got ikhlas in it, if it contains sincerity, then that's a sign of success. And in the court of Allah, such people will immediately get forgiven. That even if they had one deed to the name with ikhlas, with sincerity. So the objective of the human being is this, that we need to attain success in the hereafter. Now if we keep on practicing, worshipping, we don't go towards the objective. So we need to bring about that focus, that if Allah has given us the ability to practice deeds, then let's analyze our deeds, that how much sincerity is there in my deeds? My deeds will be presented to Allah on the Day of Judgment. Will I get reward for these deeds? So now the next question comes, that what is ikhlas? What is sincerity? If somebody says, and maybe so, that yesterday we heard this and we didn't understand, what is ikhlas? What is sincerity? So do we know? How do I know that there's sincerity in my actions, in my deeds? So in the light of the Quran and the Hadith, the definition of ikhlas is that action which is solely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and happiness. Alright? So in this, in our actions, we shouldn't be doing actions to please other people, for other people to look at us and to respect us and hold us in awe. Rather, what is ikhlas? Is that action should sincerely, solely be for attaining Allah's pleasure and happiness. So when a person does an action, for example, I said that even if it's an action which weighs or is the size of a date, just given an example, and it's for Allah's sake solely, then that will be the means for that person's forgiveness. As I told you, that hadith of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, the Prophet Dawood. And the question that then comes to our mind, which is, if we think about it now, that our maqsad is amal, isn't it? Is practice, is not to give speeches or lectures. So let's listen to something a bit further. A point has come, a very good point and very beneficial point. And then we will. So now we know that we need to concentrate on the value of our deeds. We need to put sincerity into our deeds and what will give us success in the hereafter. So the question arises that, I'm doing deeds with ikhlas. I'll say that, ask anyone today, brother, we need to do this. No, I'm okay. Such a day and age has come of nafs and shaitan, our desires, that the biggest crime of man today is that he doesn't accept his downfalls. We don't want to accept our negative points. Now, Let's understand it. But the dai who's trying to share and teach and assist somebody, his work is to tell people, look, you know, there's this deficiency in your life or your deen. We need to convince that other person, but the other person doesn't want to accept. You'll say, no, I want to go into Jannah. I'm fine, I'm okay. Why are you telling me I need to improve or need to practice deen? There's no fault of mine. I'm first class. I'm totally fine. And the person will refute and reject. But the dai who is giving the message of Islam and advising people, he will try his best that this person needs to come away from the hellfire. He's going towards the hellfire. He's sinning. So this clash will come. So the person who's been given the da'wah will refuse. And he'll say, look, I just came back from praying salah and my salah is totally fine and there's no problem with my deen. I'm totally okay and I'm going to be successful. Isn't this the case? If you ask anyone today, if we talk to each other, we all consider ourselves to be the best. But there are the honest people who do analyze themselves and they will want to know. A person who has fikr that I just came back from praying salah and I did this action. Is there ikhlas in my action? Is there sincerity? So there's two groups, isn't there? Do you understand what I'm saying? One is that totally I'm fine and don't tell me, they wipe their hands over their beards and say, yeah, I'm fine, I'm cool, I'm very pious and nobody can pick a bone in my crack in my paper. But the other person will always have worry and concern, are my deeds good and is my amal correct and have I got ikhlas, and that waswasa will keep on bugging the person, that have I got sincerity, and if this keeps coming, that is this correct, am I being accepted, is Allah accepting? And this first person, hey, I'm fine, I'm forgiven. But the person B, who's striving on for ikhlas to acquire sincerity, and while he's striving, making effort, after practicing an action, a deed, he has fikr that is there an amal here with ikhlas, with sincerity? Does this happen or not? So if you tell somebody something, that in this way you need to practice, and this is what you need to do, then he starts to have worry that, yaar, this amal I've done, this action, is this correct? My salah, it obviously will be accepted if I've got ikhlas, sincerity. I'm talking about salah, but this applies to all the amal in life, all the deeds that we do, all the amal, all the actions from the smallest to the biggest, whatever it is. We need to consider and analyze that our deeds, are they full of quality? Do they have sincerity? Will they be accepted? So I thought about this earlier. I thought about this Maghrib time earlier today, that what is the answer to this question? Allah put this point into my mind, that what's the solution to this? If I say, and I took this question upon myself, I say that, oh, I've prayed salah, I've done dhikr, and I think that I've got ikhlas, and my deeds are all accepted, and I've passed the test. That, has anybody got the answer that what is ikhlas? Sincerity, what's the sign that I've got sincerity in my deeds? Important question, isn't it? And this is how the Sufi gets to the layers, below the layers of the surface, because we have to oppose the nafs and shaitan always and get to the solution of our issues. So what's the game here? Everyone's saying, I've got ikhlas, I've got sincerity, and party A, we're fine, we're forgiven, we're pious, we're walis of Allah. But the people, party B, who are striving, make an effort, and they're thinking all the time, they're in that conundrum, that, have I got ikhlas, have I got sincerity? And then he concludes, no, I've got no sincerity. So there are two conclusions. Either he'll be depressed, I ain't got no ikhlas, sincerity, what's the point of practicing Islam and deen? I'm not strong enough, none of my deeds accepted without ikhlas, I've got no ikhlas, I'm praying salah. Shaitan attacks the mind of that person. Now forget it, why are you practicing deen? It's too hard, it's difficult to have ikhlas, sincerity, only the pious people have this, leave it. And the other person will say, what shall I do? I'm practicing, I'm trying to become good and better. Is Allah accepting my deeds? Are my deeds heavy? Do they have weight? Will they be accepted on the scale? And only those deeds will be accepted which have weight and are heavy and have got quality. So the point that I understood, my brothers, that I'd like to share with you this point, a great point, that to understand what is ikhlas, that is there sincerity in my actions? This is what I understood. So listen, if you like it, accept it. If you don't, then reject it. But I'll tell you, I'll share with you my feeling on this. So listen now, 100% we can realize if our deeds have sincerity in them. Shall I tell you an action that you can do, which will tell you 100% that you are sincere and you've got sincerity? Rather, more than 100%, 150%, you realize that you are a person who's got ikhlas in your deeds. We should do prostration, we should praise Allah and be grateful that Allah, you've given us a deed that can tell us, show us, give us the sign that we've got sincerity in our actions. No doubt, beyond doubt. How? How? Let's share this now. Let's learn. So, ikhlas, the deed that will tell us we've got sincerity, the actions that underlying point that will tell us we've got sincerity. This has come to my mind fresh, brothers, I'm sharing with you. The action which will have sincerity is that action as a result of which you will earn ridicule. People cursing you, saying bad to you, laughing at you, mocking you, jesting against you, thinking you're useless. On that amal, if we understand this, and that amal we are practicing, then that deed has got inherently inbuilt ikhlas into it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me explain a bit maybe better. Let's say you are practicing an action, you're implementing deen, and people are saying, what is this rubbish you are doing? They're laughing at you, or they're ridiculing you, or they're swearing at you. And that amal, you are doing it, it's within the banner of Islam. When you're practicing that action, then don't worry about the generation around you, but rather you're doing it to please Allah. Do you understand my point? Yeah? So if it's still not clear, then shall I tell you a bit further? I'll explain a bit more in detail. No? You don't understand? Okay. I'll clarify. So, there's an action, and from Allah Ta'ala there's an order that do this, action A. Alright? And you are doing action A, and as a result of that, the people around you, or whatever's around you, they're swearing at you, or they don't like what you're doing, or they're scolding you, and despite this, you continue to practice that deed. That means that you are not worried about what people say, or dunya, you are doing it sincerely, solely for Allah Ta'ala's sake, to please Allah. So easy a measurement gauge we've been given to analyze and gauge. So that deed which we implement, due to which someone says bad to us, they laugh at us or mock us or swear at us, they say, Alhamdulillah, Allah, my deed has got ikhlas in it and Allah, you will accept it. And it's got ikhlas because if you're practicing for the dunya to please people, then why should they swear at you? Why should they laugh at you? They will raise you up and say, you're fine, it's okay. So when will you be mocked and joked at, laughed at? Obviously, when the dunya doesn't like what you're doing, but when Allah likes what you're doing, and Allah likes it and accepts it and embraces your deed. So this day and age we're living in, close to the day of judgment, totally, close to Qiyamah, the final time we could say, yeah, the you know, close to the last day. And such a day and age, where do we look for actions which give this result? We are in darkness, we're lost, we're drowned. And there's one amal, one action I'll tell you. If this, you can say, quality is in our actions, if we implement it, people will laugh at us, maybe swear at us. And what is that? To practice the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have you experienced this? Okay, I want to get married. The girl says, no, I don't want to get married. And the boy, for example, he's practicing sunnah, the girl says, I don't want to get married. And if the girl is practicing sunnah, the boy says, no, I don't want to get married to this girl. You'll see wahid, there's one action we will see, as a result of which we will get the people around us laughing at us, or disowning us, or joking at us, but Allah will be happy. And that is only one action which will give this result, sunnat-e Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Practice it in your life and see the consequence. This is the time we're living in, the age. Now one hadith that comes to my mind, that point, and we hear this and discuss this, but today clearly it's come to my mind. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man ahaya sunnati inda fasad al-ummati. That my ummah, when the day and age will come of fasad and fitna and challenges and trials and difficult to implement deen, if a person follows my one sunnah, eat with his hand, say bismillah, sitting down and eating, drinking the water in three gulps, and upon all of these actions, open field, Rasulullah SAW has defined to us that in that day and age of difficulty, if you practice one of my sunnahs, then you will be given a massive and great reward. Why? Because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it will be such an age, such a time, that to practice the sunnah will be the most difficult thing in that day and age. People will stop people to follow sunnah, they will laugh at the sunnah, degrade the sunnah, and a person who follows my sunnah in that day and age will definitely be doing it to attain Allah's pleasure and happiness. And Allah says that I will put weight into his deed, and Allah Ta'ala said, I will tell you now what is the weight, that he will get a massive and great reward and his deeds will be accepted. Do you understand what I'm saying? That Allah Ta'ala has, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us the weight, the mass of the deed, that it will be readily accepted by Allah and it will be full of sincerity. Why? Because you're following the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The heaviest deeds in this day and age. So now, let's think for a few moments. That on such points, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us this good news. Now me and you, let's think for a few moments. In our homes, how do we eat? How do we enter our homes? Think! Sunnah, how do I sit down and drink water? And how do I hold a glass? And how many gulps do I take when I sip the water? Do I say bismillah before eating and drinking? Do I give tarbiyah to my children? How do I go to my bed in the night? How do we lie down in the night? We should be grateful, 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 alhamdulillah. A little bit, me and you, we've understood about deen due to the company of the wali of Allah. Otherwise, me and you, what do we know what is sunnah? Did I know what is sunnah? I had no manners, how to stand. I didn't even know how to urinate, how to do istinja, how to clean my private parts, how to sit on the toilet. And this is what the walis of Allah teach. Isn't it? The asal, the real reason, the genuine thing we learn from the company of the wali Allah, and the most precious teaching and knowledge is what? Dhikr, you can do anyway. As I said, this is not, don't come here just to do dhikr. Rather, take the pearls from this gathering that will give you amal practice in your life. Amal and practice in your life. Dhikr is the means to give us the conclusion. We do shukr to Allah, we're grateful to you, you've made us believers, you've given us tawfiq, and we've discussed some deen today. The reason why we come here is for amal. It's for action. And this, what I've just presented in your service, is that khalisatun amal, sincerity in actions. And a person who practices, we come here, I just come for dhikr and nothing else, then we will not attain the objective. We've come here to learn what we heard today, the hadith. We will practice on this. And if somebody comes with this intention, sits down, alhamdulillah, even if dhikr isn't done, then this is after the great dhikr that we learn and discuss and learn from this. This is Allah Ta'ala's ni'mah. We should do shukr, we should be grateful in Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. So we get more rewards for those people who will take that lesson of amal from this gathering. And every gathering they come to, they improve their life. In every majlis, in every gathering, they learn an amal and they take it and practice. That's why I stated, the walis of Allah have said that everything can be compensated for, but the company of the sheikh, you cannot compensate for the loss of the sheikh. Company. So if we get something in the majlis, a new point, a new learning, you hear something, you learn something, you've come here to improve yourself, to become a better human being, and you leave the gathering, and every time you'll take a new amal, a new action to become a better human being. We haven't come here to hear or to listen, have we? Well, what's the point of just coming to listen? Recording thousands of wa's and lectures and speeches, and many masjids, there's dars. We hear this, don't we? We sit down and listen. No, this majlis is one thing. The reason for this is amal. We have taken the amal. We appreciate and value the amal, the practice. So here, what a big hint and a sign Allah's Nabi Sallam has given, that solely that to do amal, take hold of one point, bring that into your life and bring all of the sunnahs into your life, and you'll have sincerity in every action. Everything, your form, appearance, libas, attire, eating, home, outside, business, transaction, employment, job. No part of our life should be devoid of the sunnah. Every second that person will be what if he's following sunnah? Every moment, every breath, every second, his weight of his deeds will be what? Imagine when his deeds are weighed on the scale of Allah Ta'ala's justice. Rasulullah ﷺ said that he will get a massive reward. And the Quran tells us that what is the reward? You cannot even understand, Allah Ta'ala says. What is it? The Quran says, Allah Ta'ala says, you cannot even understand. How can I describe to you? Allah says, وَلَكِ لَتَشُرُونَ. Their lives you cannot understand. That in which life those people are living and what condition those people are in. We cannot understand. In other words, the person whose maqam is so high and he is taking a massive reward for following one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what radha and happiness he is attaining, Allah Ta'ala's happiness and radha, that individual. Subhanallah. So this is the generation we're in. Hazrat Imam Zainul Abideen, this was not his name. He was called Zainul Abideen because he was the head of the Abideen. He used to read 1,000 nafl standing. In the night, he didn't know how to sleep. What was sleep? To the extreme, he was a Abid and the Zahid. And he was that individual, mashallah, that all of the effects and the learnings have come from him, emanated from Allah, may not have happened. That if he was also that day given the punishment by the people who were instructed by Yazid, then he would not have lived to give us a lesson. Subhanallah. The people of Yazid, they finished everything. And the final tents, they even put them on fire to not leave any sign. So how was he left? And this is Allah Ta'ala's decree that he was to be saved and to live on, so that until Qiyamah, the Sayyids would continue to live. The Sayyids. Subhanallah. Because he was from the offspring of Hazrat Hussein. And he saw from his own eyes, he was ill, he saw from his eyes who the effort that was made and his family, how they were killed, and he saw his walid and he saw his father and he saw his relatives. They were killed in that event of Karbala. And imagine his life at that time. That one child, if he sees a disaster like this where his family is killed and in front of his own eyes, for the rest of the life, the person cannot stay alive. The rest of the life, the depression, takes the tablets or tranquilizers, antidepressants. I can't go to sleep. I can't feel sleep. Especially mother. He saw his mother. He saw his relatives. And he was a young man at that time. And he was young. And he saw from his own eyes how his family was killed in such a bad way that we could not imagine. So how do you think, what would have been the effect? And his name was Hazrat Imam Zainul Abideen Rahmatullah Alayh, the head of the Sayyids, the head of the relatives of Rasulullah after his time. And somebody asked him in Makkatul Mukarramah, he was doing tawaf at that time, he was going around the Kaaba, and someone came to him and said, Hazrat, can I ask you a question? He said, yes, tell me. And he said that, you know, that there will be 73 sects. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will be 73 groups, sects. And from those 73, one of the groups will be successful and will get forgiveness and salvation. Isn't this the case? And Hazrat Zainul Abidin said, yes. Then he said, Hazrat, but everyone will say that we are right, I am right, I'm in the right group, I'm in the forgiven group. Everybody will open the Quran, and the person who opens the Quran, most will say, I am in the group, I am the Ashik, and this person's, they'll criticize the others, and look at my march, and my bayan, and my following, and everyone will say, I'm an Ashik. And this is that day and age we're living in. Isn't it? The final time. And we say, all of us, I am fine and there's no cracks in my paper, in my wool. I am pious. I'm accepted. So at that time, how will we recognize that who is haq and who is on the batil? And this was the question. You need to think. I need to think. This was the question put forward to Hazrat Zainul Abidin. This is a question. That am I right? If I'm on the batil, on falsehood, and I consider myself to be in the path of haq, and when my eyes close, I pass away, that's it. I thought I was fine, and my deeds were good, and I will see that I'm losing. So I'm deceiving myself. So open the point. Let's listen to this point. In this dunya, we will realize so we can correct ourselves. Don't fall into the trap and drama and deceive. All the masjids and the lectures and the groups and the halat and the conditions in the world. Look at all the facade and all of the differences and the arguments and criticism and opposition and clashes. And we're in that time. We're living in that time. That Rasulullah said that time will come. Well, you will consider that we are correct and pious and say I'm right and that person's wrong. And even that person who's right, he says, am I wrong? Am I making a mistake? While he's practicing and doing amal, he says that if everybody is on that side and I'm just on my own and nobody looks, you know, similar to me, am I right? Am I following the right path? Am I wrong? So this person has said to Hazrat Zainul Abidin, rahmatullah, the Hazrat, that everybody will say, I am in that right group. From those 73 groups, this group is the correct group. So Hazrat Zainul Abidin, rahmatullah, said that there will be a jamaat on the haq, on the right path, and that will be the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. What is the name of that group? Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which we summarize, or the short word is Sunni, isn't it? Yeah. So that person was listening. He said, okay, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He said, but if everyone said, I am on the path of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then? Because this is the fitna in this day and age. Everyone claims, Ahl Sunnah, I am Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He is not. We are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Don't follow that group. Come to me. Come to us. So Hazrat Zainul Abidin gave the answer. Ah, this is a good point you've made. Everybody will claim that I am, or we are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah will be that person, that group. That group, that jamaat. Because here's the word in this statement, that not person, but it will be that jamaat. It will be that group of people. Those people whose, from top to toe, actions, full life, A to Z, is upon sunnah and shara. On the sunnah and sharia. That jamaat, not one. Not one person. So this is the meaning of this. That group, that jamaat, and their whole life, from A to Z, top to toe, is an implementation of sunnah and sharia. Because Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Who will be the example for that jamaat? When we do business, who is the example? Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You're going to get married, who is the example? Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If there's a divorce issue, who is the example? Rasulullah gives a teaching. If there's an argument at home, Rasulullah gives the answer. You want to bring the kids up properly? Take the example of Rasulullah. Every action, every part of life, every facet of life, every angle of life, Rasulullah, Prophet Muhammad is the guidance. There's no part of life that there's no guidance. What do we do here? What do we say here? The Prophet Muhammad is the example. So if we make him the example, not the human beings as example, but the whole jamaat, not one person, it won't be one person lone sheep, the whole jamaat, the whole group of people who are following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their every part of life, they are the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So, why am I saying Jama'at? There's a reason for this. There's a tashri'a commentary of everything. That, for example, there's a false group on batil, falsehood. And if you want to see, recognize that there's a few people who are practicing sunnah. Some of them have the form, the appearance of the sunnah in their life. They've got the hal and the condition. But they're following the batil. On the path of falsehood. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you see that group, and out of that big group, there's a three or four people, individuals who are following the sunnah, who are implementing the sunnah, but everyone else is spoilt and is astray, then what is the decision? That group will say, oh look, there's a few people within us who are following the sunnah. No, this is not the case. That jamaat, when you see the whole jamaat, the eyes should stay open wide. That subhanallah, what a jamaat. What a group. And within them, a few of them who will be fraudsters,
who will be separate. There will be the black sheep or the lone sheep or the rotten apple. And the dunya will say, oh, these are liars, they're fraudsters, they're cheats. And you'll see this. In every big jamaat, there will be a few lone sheep, a few rotten apples. But the majority will be following the sunnah. Top to toe, left to right, east to west, home to outside, society to family, relatives to society, mahram, ghair mahram, parda, separation, women, home, family, business, eating, drinking, everything they're teaching will be totally in conformity to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Akhlaq, manners, behavior, walking, traveling, eating, drinking, sharing, giving, home, business, principle of life. Not just I've read Quran, I've done hifz, oh I've done this, I've memorized the Quran. No, the whole life sketch will be sunnah. In the world they are living as if they're in paradise, but the underlying criteria, who will be those people, that group whose amal, their deeds will be so heavy due to what point? Underlying criteria that in their every action, the underlying point behind their amal is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that will give them ikhlas in their action. So in their every action, A to Z, there will be sincerity. And why is there sincerity in action? Because from all corners of the world, people will be laughing at them, joking against them, mocking them, saying they're backward. Oh, these people, they're spoiling our environment, spoiling our generation, day and age. They're going back to the stone age, the dark ages. From all sides and corners of the dunya, they will be ridiculed and criticized and put down. And there will be no respect for these people. And the munafiqs at that time, because they're scared of this consequence, sometimes they'll come, sometimes they'll go. Half a partridge, half a quail. Half of darkness, half of light. They'll know that this jamaat is haq. They'll try to enter into that jamaat, but they won't even have the courage that they can practice totally on that deen. Yeah? They won't have that courage, the determination to say, oh, do dua and sujood and prostration and crying. Allah will say, why are you crying? Are you crying your destiny? That in your lifestyle, in your practical life, you don't even have the color and the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're praying salat, tahajjud, and tasbih, and dhikr. But there's no weight. There's no impact. Who are you asking from? From that Rabb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my highest principle is, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And if you want to ask by practicing the sunnah, his form, his appearance, his lifestyle, his akhlaq, his manners. Live your life according to the sunnah. Half a partridge, half a quail will not succeed. The whole jamaat will follow the sunnah. The initiation is with the sunnah. Verily in the Apostle of Allah, you have a good example, the best example for everyone who looks forward with hope and awe to Allah in the last day. And the person who follows Rasulullah ﷺ and says that in every one of my deeds I will bring the sunnah and it will be the cure to bring me sincerity. So do we understand now what will bring sincerity into our deeds, actions? That action that earns the rebuke and the criticism from the world, Allah will be pleased due to the action. The world will reject you and Allah will accept you. Okay? The person who says, I want deen and I want dunya. Yeah? I want deen and I want dunya. What is this thing? We've heard this, you've heard this term, isn't it? The deen and dunya I want. I don't know what sort of madhab and religion this is. Deen is dunya. Deen is dunya. The deen, religion, teaches us how to live in the world in a beautiful way. This is a big hadith. A great hadith. Allah improve my deen in which there is protection for my dunya. SubhanAllah. Because from deen, from religion, comes from protection for dunya. We say dunya, world, and deen, religion is separate. No, religion and world are there together. If you improve your deen, then your world, your life in the dunya will be accepted. That has ever a person who's in his on his he's ill and on the bed, has he got peace? As a fraudster, have you got peace? Even if you are stuck to the wall of the Kaaba, will you have peace in the heart? If you're on the road of Mubarak, if you're a fraudster and a cheat, will you have a sakina and peace and contentment? No, never, because you're a fraudster. Oh, I'm doing tawaf. And the person inside, he accepts, I'm doing tawaf, but I'm a cheat. Look what I've done. I've cheated people. And he doesn't have the courage to do tawbah, because he's a munafiq, he's got nifaq within him. Hypocrisy within him. He doesn't have ikhlas and sincerity. There's no weight, no heaviness. He's doing tawaf, but there's no weight in his deeds. He's doing say, safa marwa. There's no weight, no value. They'll say he comes back with the dates and the zamzam and he distributes it. That's all he can do. That's it. But if we have our life and our lifestyle according to the sunnah of Rasulullah, then you will not be left alone from the criticism. They'll be run, get him out. Who is this backward person? We don't recognize this person. What deen is this person following? This is not necessary. What deen is he presenting to us? What religion is this, etc.? They won't recognize. They won't recognize. So this is the day and age we're living in, my brother. So it's easy to bring sincerity into our deeds. This point came to my mind. It's very easy when we see that we're practicing the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you're being rebuked at home, outside, here, left and right, children, society. I say, alhamdulillah, in this amal I have got ikhlas, sincerity. In my amal, in my deeds, there's sincerity. And this will give me forgiveness. And Allahu Akbar, such a big guarantee. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one sunnah, that put all of the deeds to one side. But if we want forgiveness, take one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That will be enough to bring ikhlas into your life, sincerity. One sunnah, if it's practiced properly, with the ikhlas that results, that's enough for forgiveness. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala will say, Allah Ta'ala says that this is sunnah. This is sunnah. And when you see that you've got ikhlas and sincerity in your deeds, Allah will say, take this person, take him to paradise, because I promise that I will forgive a person based on his ikhlas. And this person followed sunnah, so he's got ikhlas. So to leave the sunnah is a big loss. And we leave the sunnah due to shame, that person's deen's finished then, isn't it? Do you understand what I'm saying? These are two separate things. That where you feel ashamed and people are criticizing you, then practice that deed more, so it's accepted more. So Allah accepts it more. But if we leave this action, oh, I'm ashamed, what are people going to say? What will my wife say? What will this person say? What will that person say? And you leave that action, then all of your deeds are useless. There will be no ikhlas in any of your deeds, because you're leaving the sunnah due to the fear of being criticized. If you want to do ibadah according to your desires and whim, then that's all riya and pride. That's why we cry today. We say, our deeds are not accepted, my prayers are not accepted, my sadaqah is not accepted, this and that. Because we have bypassed the deen and the sunnah. We are following part of it, or just a little part of it. So when there's a standard, when you make a standard in your life, a basis of success, sometimes the highs will come, the lows will come, the hardship will come, the difficulties will come. Like you want to travel from, you want to travel on a ship, a boat to Jeddah, from Pakistan to Jeddah, or Mumbai to Jeddah. And you sit on the ship. What is your destination? Mumbai. Jeddah. And you want to go to Jeddah and you sit in the ship. Now the ship is sailing and it takes some days or weeks and the storm comes, the rain, the waves go up and down. Are you going to suddenly say, no, I'm going to go to another city? Or let's leave Jeddah, let's go to Yemen. Or let's go to another country. No, you will say, I want to go to Jeddah. I have to do Umrah. That's my objective. And all necessary steps you'll take to persevere, go through the storm, the rain and the difficulty. And then you'll go and you'll disembark in Jeddah. The ship will stop in Jeddah. So that's objective. So our objective and destination is what? Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And we'll keep on steering the car towards Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, Allah's happiness. And the highs and the lows will come. So our standard is one. We will live our life according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. We will grab this standard. And this is such a standard that directly will take us to our destination, Allah's pleasure. The storms will come, the highs will come, the lows will come, the criticism will come, the ridicule will come. But the sunnah will give us height, elevation. You're accepted. You will be reminded this. You will understand on every footstep you will get congratulations. Every footstep. Aha. Every generation age. What a beautiful verse and a rhyme. That a great wali of Allah passed away. A great sheikh. And this was just one verse. He passed away after reciting Hazrat Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi, a great sheikh in the Chishti order. And he was one of the Khalifa students and deputies of Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti rahmatullahi. He recited this verse and he passed away because he was deeply in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. He was following the sunnah, and the meaning of what he was saying is that if I practice the deen and the sunnah, and this is the great effort, and it's a beautiful effort, he said, that every time I'm making this effort, every time I'm struggling to make this effort, that I can earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and happiness, and always I'm going through this effort in my life, so I can do actions that earn Allah Ta'ala's happiness and pleasure. He said, every moment in my life, I keep trying, making effort, doing good actions, and I get a good result and a good consequence. He said that when I do the amal according to the deen, then always there are challenges, always there's trials and tests and the nafs and shaitan. But Allah Ta'ala's rada, his pleasure to attain this, then Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu gave us this example, isn't it? For the sake of Allah, he made that effort, didn't he? He didn't do it to earn the kingdom and the money. In Allah Ta'ala's rada, for Allah's pleasure, Allah says, I don't see, am I testing a prophet or a wali or a human being or anyone in the world? Allah says, I don't differentiate. Everyone's got the same principle. And the whole world and the people in front of me are passing through a test. And I want to see who is pleasing me, who tries to please me. So we've been given an open field, open land. And with siddq and sincerity and honesty, we need to make one standard in life, one basis for success. Otherwise, brothers, the whole Quran is telling us that we are living the life of deception. Our prayer is deception. Our worship is deception. And we saying that we are alleged to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we leave the deen. So a person who's got two faces, two ways, will not succeed. He will not reach the decision. We have to leave the two colors, the two different ways, and take one way and bring the color of Rasulullah into our life. We have afiyat and well-being and peace and akhlaq, good manners and behavior. Look at the akhlaq of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we come onto the platform of the sunnah, then look at the great manners and behavior that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with society and people in society. He used to walk through the streets of Makkah, and there was a street he used to walk through every day, and there was a woman there who lived there, and she hated the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She hated his way, his lifestyle, and all day long she would gather all her rubbish and garbage, and when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pass in front of her house, she would throw the garbage from the window onto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was a regular habit. Now, did he take revenge? No. And every day when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to pray, imagine if this happens to you every day. Give me the example in the world. People say there's no aman and peace in Islam, there's fighting and violence. Where did Islam come from? From the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we practice, we should practice the total Islam, isn't it? Our basis and criteria should be the same. And those people who don't have manners and good akhlaq, they're liars. They have no link to Islam. So look, what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us? Every day his habit was to pass through that street, and she used to gather the garbage, the rubbish all day long. Whatever was left, she would then gather the thorns and the nettles that would prick the feet, and she'd put them on the path so that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would walk, and those thorns would prick his blessed feet, and the blood would come out of his feet, and he would walk past slowly, quietly, and wouldn't say nothing to her. One day, 2 days, 3 days, she wasn't throwing the rubbish for a few days. There was no rubbish, there was no thorns or nettles on the road. I'm telling you, this is our sunnah that we're practicing, that we've left. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that from this door and from this window up above, the rubbish would come down. So he stopped and knocked on the door. And the daughter of that woman opened the door. She came and she saw, there's that same man who my mother froze on. She said, "Amma, Amma, mother, the man has come, the man has come. He's not going to leave us today." Mother was lying down. She was severely ill, bad state. She said, who? And the daughter said, "That man who you threw the rubbish on, he's come." She said, "Is it? Oh, shut the doors. He's going to come in. And the daughter shrieking, crying. The other daughter shrieked out, "He's going to hit us today. He's going to beat us today. He's not going to leave us. And he's angry and we can't do nothing." And then Rasulullah came in, and on his blessed face, always there was a beautiful smile, whether it was a friend or a foe, doesn't matter. Always had a smile. He came in, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the daughter was ashamed that he's come in. And please, we haven't done nothing. We didn't do anything. It was our mother who threw the rubbish. We didn't do anything. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Take me to her." "No, she's ill. Please, for the sake of Allah, don't say anything. We ask forgiveness. We plead forgiveness. Just take me to her," Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And she's shaking and she's got no energy. She's ill. And this is the event, the story, great story. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into the room, and with love and affection he looked at her, and her life changed. Subhanallah. What a great inspiration. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Respected woman, I was distressed for the last few days that you used to throw rubbish on me, and for a few days you didn't throw anything on me. And I thought, what's the reason? Is it not that you're ill?" Or she started to cry, that "I am so ill that I cannot even sit up on my bed." Rasulullah said, "Don't worry, shall I bring something for you, some food, some water? I know there's nobody to buy anything for you to bring food. I'll go to the marketplace and bring something for you." And she shrieked out and said, no, please. And Rasulullah said, no, your children will be hungry. I'll bring some food for them. You lie down, take it easy. What else shall I do? Serve you, help you. She said, "No, please, can I request something before you go?" And Rasulullah said, "What?" And she said, "Please recite to me the Shahada so I can recite this in front of you." Ah, oh, subhanallah, subhanallah, deen. And what is our name today? What is the title given to the Muslims today? Because we've left the sunnah. And we are downtrodden today. We don't follow the deen properly. We've made our own basis and criteria. We've left the akhlaq. We've left behavior and manners. And we've instilled hatred into society and the world and the people around us because we have got bad manners. We've got bad conduct. And we are seen as violent. What is the reception that we receive when we travel in the world? What value do we have? What recognition do we have? We don't accept. And I said that this qawm, they don't accept. We say, no, I'm fine, I'm pious, I pray, and I present Islam, I pray Jummah and Salah, and people know I'm good, I'm forgiven, I'm the best. We should never accept and think we're the best. Every human being, pick up the Muslims around us in the world, when we tell each other and remind, "Oh, why are you speaking like Mawlana?" Oh, leave it. Even in the house, Mawlana Sahib's son, if Mawlana Sahib wants him to practice, and the son wants to practice, the Mawlana will say, "What are you doing? You've become extreme, you've lost your mind, just stay normal. The Mawlana, his house, these are the words that are mentioned. Just stay normal. Don't go extreme. You haven't gone to that place, have you? You haven't gone and met with that guide, have you? Who teaches this? Allahu Akbar. We say moderate, but when a person today, a Muslim, is following the moderate path, we say he's useless. Rather, we all and the Muslims today who follow the moderate path of Islam, because our deen, Islam, is the most moderate. What is the definition of moderate? And when somebody today is moderate, he's criticized. Now, let's say the example. What is moderation? If you wear these trousers today or jeans, you've worn these today. Now, 3 months down the line, you go to the shopping center and a new style of jeans is released. So the jeans you bought 3 months ago becomes old fashioned, and the new jean release is the modern jeans and trousers. So all of the religions pass before us, and the latest religion is Islam. So what's the most modern and moderate religion? Islam. Common sense. So all the other religions and ways and paths are old, like the jeans that passed, and the person who accepts and practices Islam is moderate and modern. So the most modern person is a Muslim who practices Islam, because Islam is the most modern. Am I wrong? Every Muslim is most modern and moderate. So how can the Muslim be backward and stone age, dark age? But we've instilled such an inferiority complex into our minds and lives and hearts. That, as I said, even the Maulana's family, a child who starts to practice Islam says, no, don't do this. You need deen and dunya. You need world and Islam. You need both things. What deen is there? Deen Islam contains the whole world and the benefits of living in the world. So why are we afraid? In this deen, tell me, where will we get ikhlas into our deeds? We will. In our salah, in dua, in sadaqah, charity, everything. In which action of ours will there be ikhlas? If we don't have that example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives, then where will ikhlas come from? So my brothers, if we want to create ikhlas, otherwise we will be unsuccessful. My duty is to correct myself, to bring myself onto the path, and to explain the right path, the modern path, the peaceful path, the best path, the path with the greatest behavior in akhlaq, Islam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, show me one example of any human being before or after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who had this akhlaq and behavior. And the book that was published, he kept the Prophet Muhammad, this book that was published, the 100 greatest people, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was agreed that he's number one. Whatever our religion is, they said, whatever our belief is, but he has to be number one because he was the best from all of mankind. Read it, pick it up. What's the reason? Because it's not the fault of our religion, it's our fault. We have left our deen, we don't present religion, our Islam properly, we don't practice it properly, otherwise people will criticize us. The people before us used to accept us, respect us, follow us, listen to us. People even who are non-Muslims would accept and respect Islam. But what do we try today? Oh, don't practice Islam and show it. Don't physically show it, because otherwise we'll have a loss. If we see any sign of Islam or name of Islam in our practice, our teachings today, we say, no, take that out. Take the word of Islam out, practice it, because we won't progress. We won't get the funds. We won't get the money. We won't be accepted. Curse be on those funds that we try to obtain without deen. Can a person have iman in his heart and believe and claim to be a Muslim who's afraid of not getting funds because he's got Islam in his life? The person whose basis and criterion is that if I present deen and Islam as my criterion of success, no, I will not be successful. But put this, that my business, my home, my family needs to prosper, then I need to bring Islam into my life. But if I say take Islam out of my life because I want to prosper in my business, my family, outside, inside, can ikhlas be in my life then? No. Is this deen? No, I'm fine, I'm pure, I'm pious. My salah is still like example again in the beginning. This is not correct. So brothers, there was an example. He broke wind and he carried on praying. I said, brother, there's no wudu. Your salah is not accepted. This is Muslim. Without wudu, there's no salah. He said, I just prayed salah. My salah is accepted. I just completed my salah. This is the day and age we're living in. If someone advises another person, you broke wind and your wudu is lost. You broke, you have to do wudu. He said, no, I just prayed my salah. I broke wudu and I prayed and I did dua. I was standing with you in the saf. No angel came. Jibreel didn't come to tell me. You prayed. I prayed. You did dua. I did dua. But you broke wind while I was standing. I had no wudu. You had no wudu. He said, no problem. It's okay. And I heard this from a brother myself. He also wanted to practice deen and dunya, wanted progress and prosperity. He was a millionaire. And sometimes we used to talk with each other and we used to have discussion. He came back from Hajj and I said, How was your Hajj travel? He said, yeah, it was very good. I had a good journey. And I'm giving an example here. I speak practical things with people. And I'm telling you the true event. He was rich And this was his mindset and ideology. Those people who have a different target in life, to make assets and money, and they have and they have this criterion. And this is where the deen reaches. So I said, how did it pass? He said, my hajj was good. Don't ask Hazrat. Went in and did this. And I said, where did you pray Jummah? I prayed Jummah in Makkah. And there was a lot of rush. And one day what happened was that I was praying and I was in Jama'ah congregation and my wudu broke. I said, wudu broke? What did you do? He said, I carried on praying. I said, huh? He said, yeah, it's okay. I said, look, you know, these Molanas, they've made these principles and rules. You don't have to follow this. Allah doesn't ask if you got wudu when you're in Makkah. There's a rush there, a crowd. And I prayed many salah like this. And I thought, I said, look, Molana. I said, Hazrat, what is this you're saying? Your prayer won't be accepted. He said, oh, just leave it. What sort of a form and appearance you got? You know, since you changed and become Dini lifestyle, you're talking like the Mulanas. Oh, give him tea. You know, this, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Allah, he said this to me as a reply. He just shunted, refuted, ignored. That person doesn't accept. Doesn't matter how much you tell that person. He thinks, I'm fine. Don't tell me. So will we have ikhlas in our deen without Rasulullah? He said, my salah is accepted. I prayed in Makkah, in the Haram, behind Sudais. And how can you say my salah isn't accepted? Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. So a person becomes so staunch when he's going against the sunnah, when his lifestyle is against the sunnah, and his hands raised, oh, my dua has not been accepted, because they are manafiq. You're a hypocrite. At least come onto the path. Why are you not doing? Oh, it's not important. It's not necessary. Allah says, do this. This is my example. And do amal like this. And we say, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. Sunnah is not necessary. This is not necessary. This is not A, B, C. Nothing's necessary. Then what's necessary, my brothers? Oh, I just pray and do what I want. When we say nothing's necessary, so he broke wind. He lost his wudu. And he's saying it's not necessary to rule. Then Allah punishes that person and takes him more into his ignorance. Remember, when a person leaves Allah, leaves the deen, then Allah Ta'ala makes him so weak in his belief, and his, then all of his life, the rest of it, he goes more towards haram, more towards ignorance, because he has become a traitor with Allah. He's left Allah Ta'ala's deen. He has left the example of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's gone towards another path. Another example of life. Otherwise, what is here? He doesn't stay here or there. As I said to you, the group, the Jama'at on Haq, is Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Not those who talk empty words, hollow words like an empty box. I'm Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. No, totally from top to bottom, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. No, and not one or two people in that group from the thousands, and there's one or two or three who are following Sunnah, who look like from their face and their parents, and then everyone else thinks, yeah, we're fine, we're safe because of these few people. No. Every individual in that Jama'at, they will be peaceful, good manners, they will not oppress anyone, nor they will be unjust, they won't kill anyone, nor beat anyone, nor oppress anyone, nor dhulm to anyone. They will have good akhlaq, they'll have soft hearts, because their nights pass in remembrance of Allah. Dhikr, adhkar, and their eyes are tears, and their eyes are swollen. And their lifestyle, mashallah, their whole lifestyle has changed and improved. That Jama'at, they have a fikr of the akhir, of the hereafter. Everything they measure and weigh, that is the sunnah in my life. How do I do this? How do I forgive this person? How do I ignore this person's mistake? They have a total criterion in their life that if somebody oppresses, they forgive. SubhanAllah, this is Islam. This is Islam that we should present. And who will demonstrate Islam to the world today? We don't practice properly. Islam's not in our mosques. I ask for forgiveness. Not in our Darul Ulooms. Nowhere. We don't practice that pure, true message, peaceful, beautiful sunnah message of Islam. And we read Bukhari Sharif, hadith, and we don't even practice the deen. Look how Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari, the kitab starts and ends. How Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, selected the beginning and the end of the kitab. He started with hamd and he concluded with hamd. The whole kitab is sandwiched with the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't have time to explain, otherwise I could go into detail. Inshallah, the time comes, I'll explain. That how Hazrat Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi, started Bukhari Sharif, and now we finished Bukhari Sharif. And if you look at both extremes, in between is fiqh, jurisprudence, but the beginning and the end is the same. Hamd. Hamd. Praise. Remembrance. And he explained the reason for this. That all the hakams are inserted into this kitab, fiqh, jurisprudence, they cannot be completed if Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is not done, and if we don't purify our ruh, our soul. We will read the hadith, but we won't practice. As Imam Bukhari said, that's why I started with Allah's hamd, and I finished with Allah Ta'ala's hamd, with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that we realize that all of the fiqh, kitabul libas, kitabul wudu, kitabul tahara, kitabul sawm, all of the hadith, they all should be read. We will listen and hear. But when will amal come with ikhlas? When we follow that guidance, لَقَدْ كَانَ
Subhanallah. Kana lakum fi Rasulillahi uswatun hasana. So my brothers, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We should understand the subject of ikhlas is now complete. A few points came to my mind that we need to bring ikhlas into our life. What is ikhlas? Which is brings weight and makes our deeds heavy. We need to practice every deed in Islam according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the action is against the sunnah, you can try as much as you want, but there will be no ikhlas and it won't be accepted in Allah Ta'ala's court. This is not the quality of a mu'min, a believer, that we take the example of someone other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anything, in any action, in any factor of life, any element of life. Look at the sahaba ikram that is eating. Look how we eat. For example, they didn't have much to eat. They had some morsels, a few pieces of bread or some milk, and the Sahaba would embrace that opportunity when they had the opportunity to eat, and they would run towards the food. Why? They knew that if Asim, that we knew that Rasulullah used to eat this, or he used to like this. So we also want to like this and eat in that same way. To this extent, who was their example? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah's blessed example. So our lives, where will barakah come and blessings, and how will we improve ourselves, and what ikhlas and sincerity, what will bring weight and heaviness into our deen? We have our deen and amal, do what we want, openly my salah is accepted, I'm pious, I can do what my hajj is accepted, my umrah is done, or my salah is accepted, or my dua is accepted. Nothing, my brothers, nothing, unless if the color and the form and the practice of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not in our life, the first thing should be we should have niyyah, my appearance, my libas, my walking and talking, my akhlaq, my business, my eating, my drinking, home, outside, relatives, relationship, family, living, everything, adab, manners, everything should be the same in our children. But today we don't know. Oh, he's a little kid. Oh, he's young. He's in his teen years. We don't know how we should get married after marriage. What are the manners of the sunnah? How a person should get married? How should that person should leave the home or start a new family? We don't have any thoughts towards the sunnah. Oh, he's a young man, a young girl. They have to have the dunya, the world and the deen. What does this mean? What is deen and dunya? Mixing dunya. So he can wander around with the girls and females all day long and then in the evening come down and sit in the zikr. Oh, he's got a bit of a beard. He's got deen and dunya. He's happy. Oh, he's done hifz. Oh, he's memorized the Quran. Nafs, have you not read in the Quran that this Quran sends a lana on that person who reads me, who leaves the sunnah? Doesn't the Quran say this? That read me and I will send a lanat. The curse that if you are practicing against the Quran and you memorize me in your heart, Allah Ta'ala says, is this the case? Your amal is against the sunnah, is against ikhlas, and you've memorized me in your heart, the Quran says, and the parents say, oh, my son, my daughter, they've gone to study, go and study, and progress, and become, have an ambition and a career, but have your lifestyle, teach your children the lifestyle, go to university, college, live, work, eat in the world, but promote and demonstrate Islam in parallel, because Islam is the protection from the wrong conclusions, from a bad effect and a negative effect. We should understand and differentiate, distinguish halal, haram, lawful and lawful. We say, no, it's okay, he's young. He can go outside university, college, he's doing everything, because we need to have deen and dunya. Deen, am I right or am I wrong? Can we be successful? Never can we be successful. If we don't take the example Allah Ta'ala gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, you believe in me, then this is your path. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his example follow. We say, Allah will believe you, but we won't take the example you gave. Imagine this. Allah, we believe you, that you can say so many times, Allah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. But the path Muhammad, the Rasulullah, no, don't tell us this. This is too difficult. This is not necessary. We'll follow our desires and we, inshallah, will be successful. How can this be? So, in front of Allah, we say, Allah, you're ghafoor rahim, Allah, you will accept, nothing will be accepted, brothers. Allahu Akbar. There was an ashik, look at the ashik. You know, there are people who are ashikin, say, we are the ashiks, we are the lovers that come out once in the year. Ashik, ashik, ashik. But look at the true ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I swear by Allah. That look how to ask dua to Allah. There was a person, and mashallah, he was a true ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I went to him, and I said, Hazrat, today, please do dua for me at night. He looked at me and said, what dua? And I knew that he's an ashik, he's a lover, a true follower. And a practice, because you can tell from the face and the practice of the ashik of the Prophet ﷺ. You can tell by looking at him, the fragrance emanates from the verse. I said, Hazrat, do dua, this dua for me. He said, what is the dua? I said, not now. I said, he said, well, tell me. And I said, no, not now. In the night when you wake up, then do this dua for me. He started smiling. In the morning came, my dua was accepted. Allahu Akbar. And I went to see him. He said, why have you come to me? I said, to say thank you, Jazakallah. Because his hands didn't even raise. And Alhamdulillah, the dua was accepted. Subhanallah.
And here, science, technology had given the answer to a woman. She couldn't have any children. And the doctor said, no. She said, how can I have children? And there was operation. And they said, totally, you've got no chance. There's no chance that you can have children. And I'm talking about Bade Hazrat Sahab, my sheikh, because I can't conclude without mentioning my sheikh. Somebody then went and said, Hazrat, this is the issue with this lady. Do dua. And Hazrat Sahab said, what dua? And they said that she cannot have children. Everyone's saying that there can be no children in this family. Allah said, maybe they're right, the doctors. But you have to obviously keep asking and persisting, because everyone has their mood. The sheikh doesn't always do dua straight away. So the person went again, say, Hazrat. But the Hazrat said, the doctors have said they're right, they're medically correct, and maybe the child cannot be born. So that's it. So the third time he persisted, said, Hazrat, please do dua, raise your hands. Hazrat raised his hands, did dua. And not one, but two. Subhanallah. Not one. They did dua for one child. Allah gave two children. And the doctor is amazed that how did this pregnancy come about? And normal, healthy two children. Now, I saw these witnesses with my eyes. So what I'm trying to say is that they were ashiki Rasulullah. He was an ashiki at one basis, one criterion. His life, how was he to pass it? According to Rasulullah's way. They're not magicians. They're not black magic. The salah is not something different to us. They had a maqsad, an objective. Where the storm comes, the rain comes, we're sailing on this ship and we're going to disembark when we get to our destination, which is Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and happiness, and we're not going to stop in any way. So should we not become passengers on that ship? Yes, we should try our hardest. In our life, we should have one example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the way. That when we are criticized or scolded or rebuked or looked down upon, suddenly we should say, Allah subhanallah, my deed has been accepted. This is the sign of acceptance. Alhamdulillah, may Allah accept. Ameen.